I want to start praying, so I want to ask you if you can please stand up this morning. Amen. And we can just ask God to talk to us today. I know you guys are already starting to feel the smell of the food and everything. And I was like, God, why do I have to pray in a moment that everybody's thinking about food and thinking about leaving? But let's ask God to speak to us in this next couple of minutes. Amen? Amen. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for this morning, God. Thank you so much for this time, for this opportunity that you give us and the kids, God, to praise you, God, to praise you all together with the family, Jesus. I pray that in this moment, God, that we will hear your word, God, that they will not see me, that they will see you speaking through me, God. Speak to me, God. Speak your words through me, God, so that your church, God, can understand the word, God, that you have for them this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to start by reading Matthew 7:20. All right, yeah, I have no connection. Yeah. I can see it, but I wanted to. All right. Yes. Just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Have you ever been close to somebody that you just say that person has something? Either, and it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody you know. Most of the time when this phrase comes, it's most of the time people that we don't know. I don't know if you've been close to somebody like that. Maybe in 2020, we had long lines. I had a lot of conversations going to the store because those lines were long. And even though we were 6 feet apart, I will still exchange conversation. And in some people, I will just say, that person has something. I don't know if you've ever met somebody, and probably even here at the church. Also, maybe you haven't interacted with this person. You just see this person come and go, but there's something in you that says, there's something about that person. I don't know what it is. And you keep on saying, I don't know what it is, but that person has something special. Raise your hand if you've ever said that about somebody. That there's something about that person. In the early Christian history, this symbol that you see up here, was a very sacred symbol. This symbol, we've all seen it. We've all probably have it. We have another image right there. We probably have it on our bumper stickers in the car, or maybe on a keychain like that one. Let's go to the back to the one in the sand. But for the early Christians, this was a secret symbol, Why? Because it was used to identify churches and believers in the time of persecution of the church by the Roman Empire. So this symbol was used from person to person to identify them as a Christian. When a Christian had to go out to do any type of business or interaction with another people, because they were in a time of persecution by the Roman Empire, they would do a sign like that, either in the floor, in the sand, or in the wall. And if the other person knew what that meant, or if the other person didn't understand, and maybe just thought they were itching in their feet or something, the person doing it probably in their mind would say, okay, he doesn't know, I better be careful, because they were persecuting the Christians. But if the person knew what it was, you can imagine that relief that they both felt in that moment, like, oh, and they hugged each other. Hey, can I get a dollar of bananas? Or because that was the identification. That is how people would tell if they were Christians or not during that time. Because in this time, Christians, they couldn't act Christians. They couldn't act or else they would be dead. So in these days, this symbol was that something that these people had that distinguished them from a believer and a non-believer. But times are different now. We're in 2020. We're in a different type of time of history, but God's word never changes. Amen? Amen. Who believes that history will pass, but God's word will never pass? And although the Bible was written more than 2,000 years ago, I believe that it's fresh and new for 2020. Amen? Amen. That's something that you see in people that we talked about at the beginning. And even that something that even made a person draw that symbol to another person. That something that moved it. Oh, because believe me, I guarantee you that in this time of persecution, there were Christians that would not even do that. That would not even do that because they were afraid, of course. They were afraid. But they would not even show in any way that they were Christian. But these that did have the courage to make that sign that had that something, and that something that we also see in people that we sometimes don't understand. We just know, yeah, I clicked with that person. That person just has something. That something is and has always been the Holy Spirit. God was made man through Jesus Christ. I always try with the kids downstairs to be as, what do you say, figurative or as possible with the simplest thing I try to explain. Sometimes I'm even redundant with them, but I try to tell them God up there was made man through Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ, that incarnation was made spirit within us. So what does that mean? That means that if God was made man, and then man was made spirit, and the spirit is in us, that means that I want to read 1 Corinthians 6:17. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him and spirit. We are one with him and spirit. And for that something to happen in us, and this is my first point, for that something to happen, we need to have the fruit. The kids sung it right here. We did a silly movement. That something is the fruit. I want to read Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. There is something powerful that happens in our lives when we receive Jesus Christ. There is something unique that happens in our life, that moment that we surrender, that moment that we believe in our hearts and in our minds and that we confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Something happens automatically in our lives in that moment. Our bodies become a home. Our bodies become a temple. Our bodies become then that place where what I explain that Jesus brought becomes and comes into our home, our temple. Our bodies become a temple of the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:15. And you may have a different version in your Bible. I'm reading from the New International Reader's Version. We have been made right with God because of our faith. Now we have peace with him because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith in Jesus, we have received God's grace. In that grace, we stand. We are full of joy because we expect to share in God's glory. And that's not all. We are full of joy even when we suffer. We know that our suffering gives us strength to go on. And that strength to go on produces character. Character produces hope. And hope will never bring us to shame. That's because God's love has been poured into our hearts. This happened through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Amen. That something in your life that sets you apart, that sets those people apart, that you just say, oh, that's something. That something is the fruit. And notice that Paul is not speaking in plural here. It's speaking in a singular person. I read a lot of versions to because I said, no, there has to be one, because we usually always say the fruits, but they will all say the fruit, one. The fruit, one, manifested or showed in 9 different ways, but it's one fruit. It's one Holy Spirit. It's the whole fruit. What does that mean then? We sung love, pace, peace, the song, I can't say them. but we sung, and we know there's 9 and everything, but why then does Paul write the fruit? One. We cannot wake up one day and say, oh, today I'm going to wear or just have, I'm just going to have goodness today. I'm going to do something good for my husband, and I'm going to have peace. I'm going to be peaceful today. But just that, because Maria's going to be in the office today, and oh my goodness, I can't stand her. I can't stand her. You're not wearing the fruit at all. You cannot say one day or live your life with just half of the fruit, or with just the one that's easier for you. Paul writes that we need the fruit, the whole fruit of the Holy Spirit. You're not having the fruit at all if you're just choosing one. The Holy Spirit gives us the fruit. And Jesus said that those that remain in him, those who are close to him, bear much fruit. Last Friday, I learned, I was interpreting the message of my husband Hector. And as I was interpreting, and this happens to me, I'm also processing everything and 2 times in Spanish and English, and as I speak it, and I'm not going to give his sermon right now, but he was speaking about John and how John was called once the son of thunder, because he had an attitude, he had a character, an explosive character. When he would see something that he would not like, he would just say, God, can we just kill them all? And then Jesus would reprimand him. But what happened then to John? And it was what I just said here, that those who are with Jesus bear much fruit. John was close to Jesus. John walked with Jesus. John saw what Jesus was doing. John was close to Jesus. So what happened then? He bare fruit. And then what was his nickname? The beloved disciple. From son of thunder to a beloved disciple, because he was close with Jesus. He bared much fruit. So you're probably thinking, oh, okay, all this theology, but then how does that look like if we're not supposed to just wear one or two? And I'd like to ask for two, for a father and children, 2 volunteers, two pairs of parent and child. Parent and child. I just need a mom and a daughter, or a son and a dad.
Okay, we got a mom and daughter.
We have a mom and daughter, and the mom will sit right here. If I could have a dad and a son, or a dad and a daughter. Okay, so the dad sits in the chair. So I have here 5 different types of fruits from the same family. And what's going to happen, you're going to have to take your mask off. What's going to happen, I want you guys to close your eyes. I was thinking, should I blindfold them? But I want you guys to see, and I want all of us to laugh at them. So, Brother Oscar and Sister Jessica, just close your eyes, okay? We're going to trust. I'm not going to blindfold you. We're just going to trust. And so that what the kids are going to do, what the kids, they have each a tray. What the kids are going to do is that they're going to give them a piece in their mouth, okay, because they have their eyes closed. They won't know. You just tell them when to open. And you guys are going to take a big bite, but really, like, take a big bite and maybe, like, bite twice and eat it. All right? Don't do it yet. Grab this plate. Grab it. All right, ready, Benji? Okay. All right, at the count of three, any. All right? I just want you to bite it. At the count of three, you guys are going to give one fruit. One, two, three. Don't open your eyes. All right, you can give the other one now.
Take that one out of the mouth. Come on, Benji, give him a good one.
That was a better reaction.
Yeah, he's ready.
Okay, give him the bigger one. Yes, that one. All right, give him the next one. All right, take two bites out of that one. All right, they like it too much now. All right, give a round of applause. Yeah. Thank you, have a seat. You can have a seat. Thank you, Benji. Thank you, Sophie. Amen. That was just for us to laugh at you guys, really. So, and for my second point, the taste. Point number one was the fruit, the taste. So then, what does the fruit of the Holy Spirit taste like? When the fruit of the Holy Spirit acts in your life, when the fruit of the Holy Spirit acts in your life, your character changes.
Amen.
Your character changes. You become from a bitter person to a sweet person. You become from depressed to happy. That's what it tastes like. It kind of tastes like this soccer ball. Ian is tasting that soccer ball. I promise you, I did not take this picture on purpose. This was on Friday. But when I took the picture, I was like, oh my God, it's so perfect. I bet that soccer ball tasted so good that Ian did not want to stop playing with it. I think we have a second one. He just looked so cute in the moment. The second I snapped the picture, he tasted it. The taste. Romans 12:12 tells us, let God, don't live the way this world lives. Let your way of thinking be completely changed. Then you will be able to test what God wants for you. And you will agree that what he wants is right. His plan is good and pleasing and perfect. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and when the fruit in your life is coming to action, your character changes. Everything in you changes, and yes, it's a process. You may say, oh, but you don't know me. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know how my family is. Oh, my dad was like that, so, you know, I just grew up like that. I'm like him. The Holy Spirit can change you.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit can work in your character because character opens doors. The Holy Spirit works sometimes more in character than in talents even. The Holy Spirit works in character I've known stories where just because of that a person had a good character, maybe didn't have the degree, maybe didn't have the talent, maybe that person didn't have the knowledge or the years of experience that they were looking for, but that person had good character and they got the job. When we understand this, that this is what God wants from us, everything changes. Everything changes. When we, even when things appear to go bad, everything changes. The Holy Spirit gives us love. The Holy Spirit gives us love. And we know that God loved us first. And through that love, we're able to love even our enemies. The Holy Spirit gives us joy. A permanent joy. A joy that is not based on circumstances. Even today, we already heard some bad news of a family who are sick. But I pray that the joy is in that person right now, because joy goes beyond the happenings. Joy goes more than what's happening, than the circumstances that are happening, even if they're bad, even if they're negative. Joy that gives us hope that God is always in control. The Holy Spirit gives us peace. Peace that takes away all worry away. The Holy Spirit gives us patience to wait without complaining. Patience to keep waiting for that year-long unanswered prayers, maybe. Patience to be patient with everybody around you. The Holy Spirit gives us kindness to be compassionate towards others, to just be nice. I mean, I don't have to say scientific words of any of these. Just be nice. Don't be rude. Don't do to others what you don't act with others the way you don't want them to act with you. That's simple. Goodness. To do the right thing even when nobody's seeing you. Because it's easy to have goodness here at church. It's easy to have goodness when you're around other people. But what about when nobody is seeing you? That's integrity. Faithfulness, to continue to believe, to be loyal to what you believe, to your values. Gentleness, to be a humble person, to be considerate about others, to always act gentle towards others. And lastly, but not least, the Holy Spirit gives us self-control. An emotional intelligent state is self-control. To be intelligent emotionally. To think before we act. Before we speak. Because you would say, oh, no. But I'm like that. I tell people what they need to know the moment. God wants you to have self-control. Because our words, the same way they can speak blessing, you can kill somebody with your tongue. And God speaks, God wants us to have self-control. And my last point is this. Take it. The Holy Spirit wants to give you the fruit. So take it. The Holy Spirit wants to build your character. The Holy Spirit wants to open doors. Some of the college students, we prayed for the graduates. They're going to new places, new teachers. Character. It's what's going to give you grace and favor with your teacher, with your classmates, with even the cafeteria person, your character. God wants to build your character, and it is yours. God has given us the fruit, so take it. Galatians 5:23, and God revealed to us something even yesterday night with my husband as I was going through the message, I'm sorry. the last part that said that there is no law against these things. Praise God for my husband. Because he said, you know what I'm thinking? And maybe you guys already know this, but for me it was a revelation, you know, that moment where God really speaks to you. You know when an inmate in prison, there's occasions where inmates, they have a 10, a 15, a 20-year sentence. But the guard comes to the authorities and say, that inmate has something. That inmate has something that, you know, that inmate has something. And that something is the character, the Holy Spirit. And what happens to a lot of inmates whose the law have given them 20, 50, 15 years because of their good character? Because of their good character, their sentence gets shortened. They even get released before time. Character. There's nothing against these things. It's all in our life. So take it. Take the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Ask God to help you. Ask God if there's maybe one area that's difficult for you, or you're not patient, you want things now, or you're not patient maybe with your kids. Believe me, I'm praying. I ask God, give me patience with Ian. Yeah. Sometimes when you ask for patience, for love, sometimes you feel like you're receiving the opposite. But God wants to build your character. And I want to invite you to stand up this morning. And if there's an area in your life where you've been living a life that you're just picking the fruit, like this bowl right here, and you're just picking and saying, oh, this morning I'm just gonna have, I'm just gonna be patient. Oh, this morning, no. The fruit of the Spirit is not like this bowl that you can pick. So I want you to close your eyes this morning. And then if you've been living like this and you know that there's one way of showing the fruit of the Spirit that you have been hiding, or that's just so hard for you to show, I pray that in this morning, God does something in your life that you will leave here. We're going downstairs to fellowship, that you will be kind, that you will have love, that you will have patience in the line because it's going to be so long maybe, that you will have kindness and gentleness and faithfulness. And this morning, I pray that the Holy Spirit does something in your life. That's something special. I pray that we all will have it tonight, to this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray, God. Holy Spirit, let your presence come into our hearts this morning. Holy Spirit, we want to take the fruit. Holy Spirit, we want to taste good. We want other people, so when they see us, they will just say, they would like to be with us, God, because you are in us. We are showing your character, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And you can make your own prayer on your own situation right now in your life, that you're lacking maybe self-control. You don't think before you act. You act and you don't measure the consequences of your actions. Jesus, help us to have self-control. Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus, I want to invite Pastor if you want to close for us.
Amen. 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 That's a good word. Amen. Amen. Let her know you appreciate her. Amen. That's a good word. Kids, you did wonderful today as well. Man, the Holy Spirit, he gives us, right? The fruit of the Spirit. And what's our response? Man, even as she talked about tasting that experience, we take it. Amen. Receive it in our lives as we grow in Him. It's a good word that we want to put into practice in our lives. Melissa, thanks so much. Kids Zone, all those who are so faithful and working in it, thanks all of you. Give all the kids a big round of applause as well. You guys were awesome. Amen. Amen. Hey, it is our cookout day. It's the 4th of July. Happy 4th of July. We're glad that you're with us today. And of course, we have some great things still in store for us today. So we're going to head downstairs in just a bit. And the brothers have been out there on the grill already. If you volunteered to help serve, if you would make sure you get downstairs fast, maybe you're already down there. And so we have all of our food out and things like that so that we can eat together in a bit. But let me just mention something really quick before the rest of us sneak out of here and we close. I know we've been praying for and all. Something really quick. First off, everybody in the room who's looking forward to eating some delicious food, let me see your hand to show that you're going to help clean up when we're finished. Look at those hands all over the room. There were hands all over the room just now that said they were going to help clean up when we were finished. I saw your hands everywhere. So when we're done, remember we need your help. Please don't eat and run, and we'll bring things back in as well. One other thing I do want to say before we go down, and this is very serious, and I mean this. I'll say it in a joking way, but I mean it. Moms and dads, the children that came to church with you in your car today, they're still your kids, all right? They're still your kids. And I know that normally in the service, kids go to kids' church and things like that, and we look out for them for you. And it's not just babysitting. We saw that today. They learn the Word of God. But when we go outside, no one else is watching your children, all right? Nobody else knows where they are. They're your kids. So you need to make sure you know where they are and keep track of them. Make sure they go through the line with you. There's a parking lot out here. Cars will go through it. So please keep track of your children. The obstacle course bounce house that is back there is huge. It's awesome, but the way it works is two kids go through it at a time. So again, moms and dads, when you take your kids over to it, as opposed to a bounce house that a group of kids go into, I know, aren't you grateful that the virus numbers are way down and all that and everything? But at the same time, it's a different setup, and only two go through it at a time. So help us out with that, parents, in that regard. And we're going to have a great time as we're safe and all as we head down there. So when we leave here, I don't think I'm forgetting anything. We won't go down through the stairs. We'll go outside to go get the food. We'll exit through outside and wrap around where we will eat downstairs. And I'm going to pray and ask God's blessing on the food now so that when you get down there, you can just jump right in and we're going to have a great time. If you didn't know anything about our 4th of July cookout today and you just happened to join us, man, we hope you'll stay with us. Hang out. Have a great time of fellowship with us. Get to know us a little better. Father, in Jesus' name, thanks so much. Thanks for our children's ministry, our Kids Zone ministry, for Family Sunday. Thanks for Melissa, Lord God, and the great blessing she is to our church, along with that whole team, Lord God, Sister Debbie and the many other workers, Iris and all that work with them, Deborah, Lord God, and Natalie. Boy, I'll leave names out, I know, but we appreciate all of them so much. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, you'll continue to bless that ministry. Bless our food, our fellowship. Be glorified in great ways in our lives. And may your fruit be manifest in our lives in greater ways this week, because we spent time in your house. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Let's live victoriously in Christ Jesus this week. Amen.